In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation this morning. Great to be with you. And as always, we like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we happen to be still in the month of October, which is the month of the Most Holy Rosary. So, let us turn to Mary. We invoke also in the Hail Holy Queen as our life, our sweetness, and our hope to be with us, to accompany us so that we get to know and love her Son more and more each day till we arrive at heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to really help us out, to be our guide. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor, as well as our Consoler. The Holy Spirit is our Sanctifier. We want to become holy. We beg the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Holy Spirit is also our interior master or teacher. St. Paul reminds us with these words in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say Abba. Abba, which means Father or Daddy. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect, as well as the fire of love to burn within our hearts. As we pray to our interior master in these words. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint John Capistrano, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Once again, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Every Sunday, my friends, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is truly risen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. It's a day of great peace and a day of great joy. This is a day in which we celebrate our Lord who truly rose from the dead. We celebrate this in the most full way by attending and participating in the greatest of all prayers. That prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So we want to have recourse to our Lord's powerful presence by going to Mass, participating fully, actively, and consciously. And if we're in the state of grace, to receive Holy Communion, which is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as always, I will pray for all of you and invite you to pray for me because we are a family. And I'd like to place all of you on the altar as they celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. As they celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the Holy Spirit. That's right, we would open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Docility to the Holy Spirit. May this be our prayer today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would work on our permanent formation so we would be good teachers to others. But first of all, we have to be good disciples of Christ. Pray that all of us will have a real hunger and thirst to get to know our faith better. And that's one of the reasons why we come together every day in our perseverance family, that we persevere in our love for God and thereby save our souls. But at the same time that we would make a concerted effort to get to know our faith better. How can we really love our faith if we don't really know it that well? Fulton Sheen once said, very few people leave the faith for what they know, but for what they really don't know, by a confused idea of Catholicism. My third intention with you is I'd like to pray for the conversion of sinners. That's right, pray for the conversion of sinners. My friends, one soul is worth more than the whole created universe. St. James reminds us, he who brings back a wandering soul to God saves his own soul and expiates a multitude of sins. So let's pray fervently for the conversion of sinners. My friends, as always, the Mass, especially on Sunday, is very rich. It's a very rich banquet. When we pray the Our Father, we say, give us this day our daily bread. It's daily bread. Means the bread of life in Holy Communion, but the bread of the Word of God. So I'd like to start off by presenting to you someone who really lived the Word of God. And it's the saint that we would celebrate today. And then I think we'll be able to apply this great saint to our readings that we have in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Yesterday we celebrated the great Saint John Paul II. What a towering giant in the spiritual life is John Paul II. Every year, October 23rd, we celebrate the memory of Saint John Capistrano. There's actually a sanctuary in Southern California in honor of St. John Capistrano. He was a man that really lived out the Word of God. I think his life, his holiness, his apostolic zeal, his intelligence, his courage, can be a model and a motivation for all of us. Because we are living in difficult times, none of us can doubt that. But also he was living in very difficult times, in many ways. Let us be encouraged by the words of Charles Dickens, the great 19th century English novelist who said, the worst of times can be the best of times. So St. John Capistrano, he was born in Italy, 1386, and he died 1456. He lived to be 70. His life, the lives of all the saints are fascinating, and they're all different. And as Hans von Balthasar points out, if you look up to the sky at night, you can see the stars shining in the firmament of the skies. So it is in heaven. In heaven there are going to be many stars that are shining brightly in the firmament of heaven, and these are the saints. And we are also called to become saints. We also are called to become saints. As Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. So, it's interesting how God utilizes our human talents and gifts to often promote the gospel. For that reason, Thomas Aquinas says, grace does not destroy nature, but builds upon it. So he's eventually going to become a priest, but not right away. He is educated as a very successful lawyer. Then he becomes a governor in the 14th century of Italy. And there's a lot of political corruption back then. He was lawyer and then he became governor. And he was sent to another province when he was about 26. His life underwent a radical change. How often God intervenes in surprising, painful, and powerful ways to change the course of events. Think about St. Paul on the road to Damascus. Think about St. Ignatius in Pamplona. Think about St. Francis in a jail in Perugia. These were all providential accidents, so to speak, that changed the lives of these men who became great saints. When he was in this other province, he was actually taken as a prisoner after battle. So he's spending these very sad, depressing days, weeks in prison. He has time to re-examine his life. And according to tradition, Saint Francis actually appeared to him. So he thought, okay, I've been a governor, I've been a lawyer, but there's another way that I can serve God even better. The thought occurred to him, why not become a Franciscan? So he entered into the Franciscan order, and at 34, he was ordained a priest. He's going to turn out to be one of the greatest preachers in the world. But he starts preaching. He starts his work under the guidance of another great, great preacher. That was Saint Bernardine of Siena. So Saint Bernardine of Siena, in a certain sense, was his guide, his mentor, his teacher. How often one saint will influence another saint to encourage, to stimulate each other to grow in holiness. That was the case with Saint Bernardine of Siena in his relationship to John Capistrano. So Bernardine of Siena would go off preaching missions, and John Capistrano would spend a lot of time hearing confessions. There was back then a lot of political corruption. There was problems within the church. And the world really needed a man like him to change the world. The Franciscans were divided. They were not sure how to live out the original rule of Saint Francis. And he came to help to order the disorder. The church was divided, in which you had more than one man who claimed to be Pope. Now, we have gone through a tough time in the country as well as in the world over the past 3 years with this pandemic. You know, these dangerous, contagious diseases didn't start simply 3 years ago, but the world has gone through these epidemics and pandemics for centuries. He lived in a time in which the Black Death had claimed about 30% of the population. So many people were losing the faith. John was sent to preach, as was Bernadette of Siena. He was very cheerful and he tried to pick up the people's spirits. Very cheerful and tried to pick up people's spirits. He preached in Italy and Germany and Bohemia and Austria and Hungary and Poland and even Russia. And the basic themes was he preached, we have to pray. We have to pray and we also have to practice penance. So Pope Pius II recognized the power of his man. He asked him to preach against the Turkish invasion of Hungary, which would be, of course, the Muslims. With his preaching, the Hungarian general was encouraged and was able to fight back and to conquer the Turkish invasion. By 70, he was just skin and bones, but still strong in spirit. He died of a disease that he caught in battle. But Eastern Europe was greatly influenced by his preaching and penance, his determination, which earned him the title of Defender of the Political Law, later made him Defender of God's Law. He's known as the Preacher of Europe. So let's ask St. John Capistrano to help us to get to know our faith, to live our faith, to preach our faith, and to be willing even to die for our faith. From there, let's move into the readings for the day. Last week, my friends, and this week, we have the same theme of the Mass, of the Liturgy of the Word. The basic theme or topic last week and this week is the real importance of prayer. That's right, the real importance of prayer. The real importance of prayer. But last week and this week, two different dimensions, when we'll make the connection, God willing. Last week, the first reading was taken from the Old Testament, and it's the book of Exodus, in which the Israelites are fighting against their enemies. Moses makes the decision not to be on the battlefield, but rather Moses decides to climb the top of the mountain, overlooking the battle, climb the mountain, overlooking the battlefield, and to raise his arms when the battle was going on. So what happened when Moses had his arms elevated, the Israelites would prevail in winning the battle. But when Moses' arms started to droop, the enemies prevailed. So Aaron and Hur decided to have to lift up the arms of Moses as he sat on a stone. And this they did until the sun went down. It says that Joshua mowed them down by the point of the sword. What do we see? We see the power of prayer. And the lifting up of the arms is symbolic of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, the lifting up the arms, we do that when we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. As well as the arms elevated, point to Jesus on the cross, who had his arms elevated as he hung upon the cross. So when we celebrate the Mass, we actually celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So there's a lot of symbolism. Now the Gospel reading last week was parallel to the first reading. And if you remember, taken from Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaks about the judge and the insistent widow. There was a judge who neither feared man, feared God, nor respected man. And a widow. And this poor widow would go up to the judge and beg for justice. The judge reasoned as such. I neither believe in God nor do I respect man. But I better give in to this woman, otherwise she will end up by doing me violence. And Jesus says, hear what this unjust judge says. Will not your heavenly Father give to his children that call him day and night? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, whoever knocks, the door will be open. And Jesus ends by saying, asking a question. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So the essential message last week and moving right into this week is the importance of prayer. But specifically the importance of persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer. Jesus says, he who perseveres until the end will be saved. To persevere in prayer. Teresa of Avila uses these words. Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. We must have a determined determination to never give up prayer. And what Air is to the lungs, so prayer is to the soul. If we don't breathe, we're going to die. If we don't constantly breathe in and out prayer, our spiritual life will dry up and die. Our spiritual life will dry up and die if we don't maintain a vibrant prayer life. So that takes us into the reading for today. Now the first reading is taken from the book of Sirach. And I'd like to take just one verse. In which the author is speaking about the lowly, the orphan, the widow, the oppressed, that God hears them. In this one verse, the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. What a beautiful verse. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. What the Word of God is saying in Sirach, as well as we're going to meet the same thing in the Gospel, is last week we had the idea of perseverance in prayer, insistence in prayer, patience in prayer. This week, the topic once again is prayer, but the interior disposition that our heart must have. And that is, we must have, my friends, a meek and humble heart if we are to please God. A contrite and humble heart, O Lord, you will not spurn. God rejects the proud, but God lifts up the humble. So as we go deeper and deeper into the Word of God this Sunday, let's pray that we would have a meek and humble heart. Not allow ourselves to be dominated by pride and self-love. For that reason, the psalm says, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. And when the poor are knocking at our door, let's make sure that we open up our doors, our hearts to the poor and the suffering and the abandoned. That we would open up our hearts to them. Now, the second reading is taken from the letter of St. Paul to Timothy, the second letter. Now, let's try to enter into the time and the culture of St. Paul. In the Greek or Hellenistic culture of the time, there were what we call them the Olympic Games. We have the Olympics throughout the world about every 3 or 4 years. But the Olympic Games, my friends, date back even before Christ. And St. Paul was aware of them. Was he an athlete? We don't really know, but he uses, St. Paul uses athletic terminology in some of his writings. And we encounter it today. St. Paul will go on to say that, I have fought the good fight, using an image of boxers. But today is, he says, that he has finished the race. He's competed well, and he's finished the race. He says, I've kept the faith. Now and then I'll make reference to one of my favorite movies. And if you haven't seen it, I invite you to see it. It's called The Chariots of Fire. Last night when I was giving my homily in Pomona in St. Joseph Church, I actually, in my homily, I gave one of the scenes in this Chariots of Fire, which is it's a great movie. The music is based on the reality of these athletes from England and Scotland who will end up in the Olympic Games in the beginning of the 1900s. So there's a scene that I just love. It's before they arrive at the Olympic Games. The protagonist in this movie is Eric Liddell, who would go on to become a missionary and die in China, preaching the Word of God. Before he arrives at the Olympic Games, in which he will win a gold medal by running the 400, he's running the 400. And it starts off where the gun is shot, and he's running side by side with another three runners. One of the runners elbows him, and he cascades to the ground, losing several seconds. Now, losing several seconds in a long-distance run like cross-country is not that much. But if you lose several seconds in the 400, which is a real sprint, it's huge. But he got up and he ran with all the fiber of his being. And he passed one, he passed the second, and then he passed the guy that knocked him down, and he won by about a tenth of a second. And he falls down gasping because he ran so hard. I honestly believe, my friends, that that is symbolic of our lives. That we are called to be athletes for Christ. We're called to work hard. We're called to discipline ourselves. We're called to fight the good fight. We're also called, when we fall, not to stay down, but to get up. My founder calls it the Nunc Cepi. Now I will start. I'll start again. So let's recognize, my friends, that we're all athletes for Christ. Fighting the good fight, running the good race. Paul also mentions in the reading today, I was saved from the mouth of the lion. Now the Romans would throw the early Christians in the amphitheater to the lions. He was saved from the mouth of the lion. So So let's pray, my friends, that we would, as athletes have to discipline their bodies, let us discipline our souls by maintaining a plan of life where we're faithful to our prayer commitment all the days of our life. We're praying in the morning. We're getting our rosary in. We're faithful to our holy hour. We make good fervent communions. We apply our minds to solid Catholic reading. And Paul will go on to say in another passage that athletes discipline and deny themselves so many things just for a crown of leaves that will perish. Remember many years back in high school that those who decided to go into wrestling, they would often, it wasn't really called fasting, but they would be depriving themselves of food so that they could lose maybe 10 pounds. They could go from one class to another. I remember that. They would be basically not eating for a day or 2 days so that they would lose weight. They could enter into a lower class and be wrestling against those that were lighter in weight. So they'd maybe do this during the course of a couple of weeks. This was done for one reason, so that they could go to a lower class in wrestling and they could win eventually in their competition. They could win the tournament and win a medal. But I tell you, that discipline, these would be teenagers, would be 15, 16, 17 years old. The discipline in not eating and drinking during these days or even weeks was done for a natural motivation. As Paul points out, we're not doing this for a natural motivation. We're doing this, my friend, we're doing this for the salvation of our souls, that God would use us in the salvation of many other souls. So that's the second reading in which St. Paul is comparing himself to an athlete. Let us all discipline ourselves to be athletes for Christ. Let's move, my friends, now into the gospel for the day. Let's move into the gospel for the day. As mentioned earlier, last Sunday, as well as this Sunday, the basic theme is that of prayer. Last week would be that of patience and perseverance and insistence in prayer. Today is on prayer, but it's going to be a different focus, a different emphasis. And once again, Jesus gives us a parable. Remember the parables of Christ. They're very efficacious teaching methods to convey a message. The Baptist minister defines a parable, Adrian Rogers, as a human story with a heavenly message. I like that definition, don't you? Parable is it's an earthly story with a heavenly message. And what our Lord does, he addresses the parable of those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despise everyone else. So it's a parable. It's a parable, my friends, of the Pharisee and the publican. Pharisee and the publican, or the publican, you might even call him the tax collector. Many of the Pharisees were very well versed in the law, in the law of Moses. They knew the law, they knew the prescriptions. They tried to be very meticulous in carrying out even the most minute details of the law. And often they would forget what's most important. Loving God with all your heart and serving your neighbor. And some of them were just impregnated with pride and self-love. And that we see in the gospel today. So we have both the Pharisee and the publican. They go up to the temple to pray. At least, it seems as if they're going up to the temple to pray, but one is going to be praying, the other one is really not going to be praying, rather he's going to be praising himself. And that is the Pharisee. So we'll start with the Pharisee. He takes up his position, he's standing up, and he's not so much praying to God, but he's praying to himself. He's actually praising himself. And he says, "Oh God, I thank you so much that I'm not like the rest of humanity. Greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector that's behind me. You know, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income." So he's really, what he's doing, he's praising himself for all the good things he does. Prayer, his penance, his almsgiving. But he's really doing it for his own self-aggrandizement or glorification rather than doing it for God. So, in contrast to him, we encounter the publican or the tax collector. Now, he's not standing in front, he's standing at a distance. So you got the Pharisee standing up front and he has his head lifted up, praising himself. Tax collector is in the back of the temple, not even with his eyes raised, but his head bowed down. And he's beating his breast. And he's saying these words. O God, be merciful. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus will go on to say, I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. There you have, my friends, the parable that Jesus gives of the Pharisee and the publican. Very much related to the first reading, which is the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. The prayer of the publican, tax collector, pierces the clouds. Because of his great humility. So, my friends, in our Perseverance family, let us put together or synthesize the message that God wants to convey to us this very day. Let's put together last week's readings, the readings today, and the saint that we celebrate. My friends, let's make a firm commitment today, all of us. To be faithful day in and day out. To be faithful to our prayer discipline. To persevere. And as St. Paul says, I've competed well, I've run the race. I finished the race. Let's pray that as we are prayer warriors, that we would not give up because of discouragement. Because that's one of the reasons why people give up prayer, is they become discouraged for lack of results that we don't always see. We don't always see the effects of our prayers. Often we're impatient. Often we embrace what I call a microwave spirituality. The infallible novena to St. Jude is that we want to see things like that. But that's not the way God works. We have our clock, God has his clock, and we have to try to be willing to abide by God's concept of time. And then not only do we have to have this perseverance, but we have to have the right disposition of our hearts. Our hearts have to be set on God. Not like the Pharisee. Who, by the way, the Pharisee was really not praying at all. But this Pharisee was really just praising himself, which is an overweening pride. But rather the Pharisee, in contrast to the publican was very humble. He bowed down, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, striking his breast. Really, what is humility? I like to define humility as such. Humility is this, to recognize that all the good I can do comes from God. He's the ultimate source of all goodness. All the good I can do comes from God. All the evil is my own doing. So let's turn to Mary in this month, which is still the month of the Most Holy Rosary, who said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of God, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because He's looked upon the humility of a servant. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, because the Almighty has done great things, and holy is His name." Mary can teach us true humility of heart. We might pray this prayer, my friends, that we'd be able to cultivate the humility of the tax collector. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. May God bless you this Sunday in which we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.